Okay, stop what you're doing. If you own a cold card, listen up. This is not a drill. This is Zach, and you're listening to Reads on the Bitcoin Well podcast. And I'm breaking format today because some things can't wait for a warm welcome. Here's what happened. Overnight on July 30th, 594 Bitcoin, about $38 million worth, got swept out of 500 wallets in roughly 25 minutes. Nobody got fished. Nobody's device got touched. The seeds themselves were weak from creation. A bug in ColdCard's firmware meant the random numbers making people's keys weren't actually random. And a predictable seed isn't secure. It's a math problem an attacker can just solve. I've got a Mark III, so I'm in the danger zone myself, and I didn't sleep last night until I made sure my device was safe. At least as safe as it could be. And I'm now in the market for new hardware. But before we go anywhere, what do you need to do this afternoon or morning or whenever you're hearing this? One, if you generated a seed on any cold card from March 2021 on, not just the Mark III, any current model, treat those funds as at risk. Two, if you had set a BIP39 passphrase when you generated that seed phrase on your wallet, breathe, because that's the one thing the device didn't generate and potentially keeping your safe funds. Three, as a stopgap, if you hadn't created a BIP39 passphrase before now, you can do so on your wallet to generate a brand new seed phrase, which you can then migrate your funds to until you have time to get a new wallet or update the device or both. No, if you do this, that will then be a brand new wallet that you then have to create an address for in your software, however you have that set up with your cold card. And then you'll need to move the funds to it and potentially test that you can send funds from that address before trusting all of your savings to it. Take your time and relax. Don't do anything in a panic because that's when you make mistakes. Four, migrate to a fresh seed on a patched hardware or a brand new device. Verify your check and receive address on the screen, send a small test amount first, and make sure you can send it back out again. And four, a bad seed stays bad. Moving it to a Trezor or a Ledger doesn't fix it. You need genuinely new keys built from scratch, ideally with added randomness using dice rolls or other methods. I busted out all my Dungeons & Dragons and Magic card dice, just getting excited about all the random dice throws I'm gonna be making. Now that you're safe, let's slow down and actually understand this. The full timeline, the tiny code mistake that caused it, and the habits that protect you no matter who makes your wallet. Questions or want me to help you or one of our teammates walk you through your own migration? Email me at z.adair@bitcoinwell.com. That's z.addair@bitcoinwell.com. I'll try to answer everyone. Not your keys, not your coins. And in this case, not real entropy, not your keys. Here's the read. The cold card hack, a timeline of the $38 million entropy failure and how to keep it from happening to you. 594 Bitcoin vanished from 500 wallets in about 25 minutes. Nobody's keys were stolen, nobody's device was touched, and that is exactly what makes this one so terrifying. You see, most Bitcoin thefts have a villain you can picture, a phishing link, a fake support agent, a $5 wrench. Someone tricks you or someone grabs you and the coins walk out the door. This one has none of that. The victims did almost everything right. They bought a respected hardware wallet, wrote their seed words on paper, never typed them into a computer, and left their savings in cold storage for years. Then, in the small hours of July 30th, 2026, the coins left anyway. All at once. From hundreds of people who had never met and had nothing in common except one thing, the device that made their keys. At 1:36 UTC on Thursday, July 30th, Bitcoin block 960188 confirmed the first batch of what would become one of the most surgical thefts ever recorded on-chain. Over four consecutive blocks between 960188 through 960191, an automated operation swept 500 separate addresses. That's 1,324 unspent outputs, roughly 594.5 Bitcoin, about 38 million at the time. By 151 UTC, it was finished. The attacker had already funneled those Bitcoin into a single consolidation address, where it still sits as of this writing. Look at the fingerprint of the attack, and it tells a story. Every drained address was single signature, not one multisig, not one taproot address. The median victim lost 0.41 Bitcoin, around $26,000 worth. The hardest hit lost 29.9 Bitcoin, nearly $2 million. And no victim lost less than 1.5 Bitcoin. That floor might be a tell that the attacker filtered targets by minimum balance. This was not a spray and pray, someone had a specific wish list they were trying to pull. The whole operation cost about 0.044 Bitcoin in fees. Whoever did this walked away with $38 million and paid roughly $2,800 in postage. The first alarm didn't come from a researcher or a company, it came from a victim. About 12 hours later, a user posted to Reddit under the title, "Full Panic, One of My Wallets Was Drained." The comments pieced together a heartbreakingly ordinary story. A cold card bought in 2021, a 24-word seed generated on the device, savings moved over, then years of quiet. In January of last year, they bought a second cold card and re-entered the old words to make sure they were correct. The seed had never touched the computer, only the device, a watch-only wallet on Sparrow, and automatic withdrawal from an exchange to the same address. That night, the address got swept, along with 499 others. Here's where it gets messy. About 4 hours after that post, Kevin Loack, co-founder of Wizard Sardine, the team behind the Liana wallet, asked his followers with a cold card to check their balances. His words, "Hoping this is a nothing burger, but doing my job here." 90 minutes later, the tone had changed completely. Quote, "This is not a drill." Confirmations rolled in from names the community trust. The developer known as Grubles confirmed a case. Jameson Lopp reported partial thefts, wallets where only some outputs had been pulled, not the whole balance. Loack noted that the victims included multiple real and known Bitcoiners. The comforting theory that one careless person got fished, something systemic was in play. Less than an hour after all the theorizing, NVK, or Rodolfo Novak, the founder and CEO of CoinKite, the company that makes cold card, responded, quote, "No need to panic. Someone loaded a compromised seed onto a cold card and or the seed leaked. This is part of a broader attack involving 500 private keys from different wallets." In other words, not our device. These were bad seeds from elsewhere. Now, I want to be fair to NVK here because I think he was doing what a founder does at hour 16 of a crisis with incomplete data. He was pattern matching to the last 100 incidents, which usually are leaked seeds. But in this case, he was wrong, and to his credit, he said so and has since apologized. As the picture sharpened, he pulled back the initial call, telling followers he didn't want bad information circulating while people were at risk, and put the whole team on it. Quote, "We are all hands on deck doing a deep dive on everything. Technical post soon." Meanwhile, the on-chain analysts were closing in on the real answer. Rob Hamilton, CEO of AnchorWatch, ran the numbers. 1,324 outputs, all single sig, dating from 2021 to 2026, not on Taproot. His read was, "At first glance, it appears there was faulty entropy in wallet generation somewhere along the path." Faulty entropy. Hold on to that phrase, we'll come back. By the end of the day, on July 30th, CoinKite published a formal Mark III security advisory. No more hedging. The warning was blunt. Any user who generated a seed on a cold card Mark III running firmware version 4.0.1 or later should treat their funds as at risk. The flaw runs through firmware 5.0.3, the final release that supported the Mark III. The advisory carried one piece of very good news and one clear set of instructions. The good news, if you protected your Mark III with a BIP39 passphrase, CoinKite's early analysis said your funds are at minimal risk. Why? Because the passphrase is the one ingredient the device doesn't generate. More on that shortly, because it's the single most important concept in this whole thing. The instructions. If the Mark III is your only device, create a strong, unique BIP39 passphrase on it and move funds to the new passphrase protected wallet as an interim measure. For a cleaner fix, generate a fresh seed on an unaffected cold card, or for the advanced and careless, use the Mark III's dice-only import path with at least 99 rolls of fair die, which bypasses the device's broken generator entirely. And the line that should be tattooed on every self-custody guide ever written, migrate calmly. We say that a lot around here. Rushing a wallet migration can create a more immediate risk than the issue you're trying to address in the first place. So verify every backup, every address, every fingerprint, and send a small test transaction before you move the rest. And personally, I also want to test sending from the new wallet before I just move all my funds into it in a panic. Which I calmly did last night, by the way, because I also have a Mark III that's potentially at risk. Alongside the advisory, CoinKite published a companion technical backgrounder, link will be in the show notes, and it contains one of the most disarmingly honest admissions I have ever seen from a hardware maker mid-crisis. NVK wrote that most of the randomness on the cold card was coming from a software PRNG that, quote, I didn't know was actually in the source code base, inherited from a MicroPython submodel. The hand-built hardware, TRNG, he had carefully written was still running, but, quote, just by chance and only for less important things, unquote. So the founder of one of the most respected names in Bitcoin self-custody didn't know which random number generator his own seeds were actually using. Not because he was careless, but because two functions shared the same name and the wrong one quietly won. CoinKite said Mark IV Q and Mark V were not affected based on early analysis, but that turned out to be true for only the specific theft, but incomplete for the underlying bug. Enter Block. Jack Dorsey's company, Block, on the same day, their engineering and security teams published an independent technical analysis, link also in show notes, written with anonymous security researchers. This is the document that turns a scary headline into an understandable failure, and it's worth slowing down for because the mechanism is a small masterpiece of how these big disasters hide inside tiny mistakes, which I know we all make. Here's the chain of events in plain language. A cold card is supposed to generate your seed using a true hardware random number generator, RNG. A dedicated circuit in the STM32 chip that produces genuine physical randomness. CoinKite wrote their own wrapper for that hardware, which is good practice. To avoid a conflict, the production build sets a configuration flag to zero, telling the underlying MicroPython system, don't use your built-in RNG, we've got our own. Now the bug, a separate library the firmware relies on called libngu, needed to check whether that hardware RNG was available. It checked whether the flag was defined or whether it was enabled. The flag was defined, its value was zero, meaning off, but the check only asked, does it exist? And the answer was yes. So the build completed with no error and no warning and quietly wired the seed generator from MicroPython software back into the hardware chip. And what is that fallback software? A small non-cryptographic pseudo-random generator called Yasmerang, seeded from the chip's fixed serial number and a couple of timer registers. Those aren't secret. The serial number is factory set metadata. The timers are predictable startup state. Feed a predictable input into a predictable algorithm and you get a predictable output that merely looks random. It passes the eye test but fails in reality. Block laid out the consequences by device, and this is where it gets worse than the CoinKite advisory suggested. On the Mark II and Mark III running the version 4 firmware, there is essentially no real cryptographic entropy at all. For a known device and startup state, seed generation is effectively deterministic. CoinKite's own follow-up put the effective search space around 2 to the 40th power, 40 bits, against the 2 to the 128th power, 128 bits, a 12-word seed is supposed to have. An attacker with the right setup doesn't get your seed out of an impossible ocean of possibilities, they just compute it from the limited number that they can see are available. On the current Mark IV Q and Mark V, it is better but still broken. A boot time reseed pulls entropy from the secure elements, but the code keeps only 32 bits of it. That caps the meaningful search space at about 2 to the 32nd power, roughly 4 billion possibilities, or around 2 to the 72nd power total once you account for the timing states. 4 billion sounds like a lot until you remember that modern hardware chews through numbers like that for breakfast. CoinKite calls this a material improvement that still does not reach the target, which is a polite way of saying, don't rely on it. Let me be blunt about the scope, because the early headlines fixated on the Mark III, and that is genuinely misleading. This is not a Mark III problem, it's a cold card problem. Every current model, the Mark IV, the Q, and the Mark V, generated weakened seeds too, just with more entropy than the Mark III's near deterministic worst case. The theft happened to hit Mark III early single-sig wallets, so the Mark III grabbed the spotlight. But if you generated a seed on any cold card from March 2021 onward, you are in the scope. What is genuinely clear? The Mark I or any Mark II, Mark III seed made on firmware before 4.0, those use the real hardware generator, and the non-cold card products, TapSigner, OpenDime, and Sats Card, which run different code entirely. Everything else made in the last 4+ years should be treated as suspect until you have migrated. The regression entered in a single commit date, March 1st, 2021, shipped in firmware version 4 on March 17th, 2021, and the partial Mark IV reseed was added a year later in March 2021 without ever fixing the root cause. For over 4 years, seeds were being born weak and nobody noticed. The same weak generator also touches paper wallet keys, seed Zor mask, cloning and USB encryption, key teleport, Web2FA, and secure notes passwords. The rot ran deep because everything drank from the same poison well. One correction worth making, since it's already circulated wrong, you will see an 8-year-old bug figure in some coverage, but that's not quite right, and CoinKite pushed back on it directly. The vulnerable MicroPython fallback code was added upstream back in May 2018, so the code is 8 years old, but it didn't enter cold card seed generation until March 2021 migration. Affected seeds go back a little over 4 years, not 8. The distinction matters if you're trying to figure out whether your own wallet is exposed. And here's the part that should keep every auditor up at night. Cold card's firmware is fully open source and has been reviewed, including by CoinKite itself. So how did this survive 8 years of eyes on the code? Because the reviews confirmed the correct hardware TRNG was present in the compiled binary, but it never verified which of the two identically named functions the seed generation path actually reached. The good code was there, it just wasn't getting utilized. Present isn't the same as used, and an audit that checks the former while assuming the latter can pass a broken system with flying colors. So where do we stand as of this afternoon on July 31st? CoinKite shipped an emergency hotfix overnight, firmware 5.6.0 for the Mark IV and Mark V, and 1.5.0 for the Q. It adds no new features, it just generates entropy correctly, and it does so with a fix that is almost poetic in how directly it answers the bug. The build now explicitly refuses to include the MicroPython fallback and adds a compile time check that fails unless the correct hardware RNG is the one actually wired in. The exact same blind spot that let this ship for 4 years is now just a build error. By the way, something important to know in all of this is updating your firmware doesn't repair a seed that was already created on the device. The weak seed already exists. A patch stops making new seeds going forward from being bad, but it doesn't heal the issue you have with your current seed phrase. Anyone with funds under an affected seed still need to migrate to a brand new seed generated on patched hardware, or on another device, probably. The Mark III is out of support, so its owners, like myself, are pointed to the separate migration path in the advisory. Block's hardware lead, Max Guise, also what a great name that is, Max Guise, urged anyone exposed to move funds as soon as they safely can and confirm that no block products are affected. Trezor, a competitor, told its own users their funds are safe, while making another similar point like I made earlier that a seed created on an affected cold card stays weak even if you restore it onto a different brand of device. The weakness lives in the numbers, not the hardware. There is a strange quietness in the aftermath of this. The stolen 594 Bitcoin hasn't moved. 562 sit untouched in that consolidation address, another 32 on an intermediate hop, and not a single Satoshi has gone toward an exchange or a mixer. The attacker is sitting on $38 million in the open, and the next time those coins twitch will be the first real clue to who holds them. I also don't think it will be so easy for the thief to even use the stolen funds. He may also be noticing how much attention he received and planning his next moves more carefully. And then there is the detail that makes 2026 feel like, well, current year. CoinKite says it has to assume the attacker used AI to comb through old versions of its open source firmware and find the flaw. The gut punch? The company says it ran one of the best available AI models over its own code just weeks earlier, and the model didn't find this bug or anything serious. Same tools, both sides of the fight, but this time, in CoinKite's words, it didn't help them, it only helped the bad guys. So now that we've gone through that, let's pull back from the timeline because the mechanism here is older than Bitcoin. Ayn Rand built her entire philosophy on three words. A is A. A thing is what it is, regardless of what you wish it to be, regardless of how it looks. Reality doesn't bend to hope. Her constant instruction to the confused was, check your premises. Because when you hit a contradiction, there is either a lie or an error in your data or something wrong with your starting assumptions. That is this whole disaster in a sentence. Everyone in the chain assumed a premise that was false. The library assumed a defined flag meant an enabled flag. The build assumed no error meant no problem. And hundreds of users trusted that a number which looked random was random, without taking any steps to increase that randomness. Myself included. But a predictable number wearing a costume of randomness is still predictable. A is A. The seed looked like 128 bits of entropy and behaved like 40. And reality, in the form of an attacker with a script, collected the difference. This is why the Austrian tradition is so allergic to appearances standing in for substance. Randomness can't be faked, only genuinely produced or genuinely absent. There is no in-between that survives contact with a determined adversary. The seed is the foundation your entire financial sovereignty rests on, and a foundation is not probably solid. It either is or it isn't. Now, there was something that saved some people in this situation. And a lot of cold card owners might get this wrong, so listen to this part carefully. Your PIN is not your passphrase. The PIN unlocks the physical device. It has nothing to do with this current bug. The BIP39 passphrase, sometimes called the 25th word because it's an extra word, is completely different. It's an extra secret you supply that gets combined with your seed to derive an entirely separate wallet. Change one character and you get a totally different wallet. Why did a passphrase protect people here? Because the device never generates it. You do. It's the one input the broken random number generator didn't touch. An attacker can recompute your weak seed from public data all day long, but without the passphrase that lives only in your head and your backup, the recomputed seed unlocks an empty wallet. The passphrase survived the entropy failure precisely because it never depended on the device's entropy in the first place. Most people know their PIN. Far fewer set a passphrase. That gap is the entire attack surface. Every single drained wallet was a passphrase-free single-seed SIG. So what do you do right now if you own a cold card? Well, calm and careful beats fast and panicked, first of all. A rush migration is its own attack vector, so work through these steps deliberately. You can also read this online at bitcoinwell.com/blog if you'd rather have it written down. Number one, figure out which firmware made your seed. Exposure depends on the firmware version in use when the seed was generated, not the device's age or its current firmware. Mark 2 or Mark 3 seeds from version 4.0.0 through version 5.0.3 are the highest risk. Mark 4, Mark Q, and Mark 5 seeds are reduced, but still really risky. Step 2, if you have a BIP39 passphrase, you are in far better shape. Keep protecting it. Never type it into a website, phone, or computer, and it's doing the heavy lifting for now. Step 3, migrate to a fresh seed on patched hardware. Update to the hotfix if you have one available, then generate a new seed. Better yet, add entropy, you control, at least 99 dice rolls, a strong passphrase, or both. Step 4, verify before you trust. Record the new wallet's fingerprint, verify a receive address on the device screen, and send a small test transaction. Confirm it arrives before moving the rest, and keep your old backup until the migration is fully confirmed. Step 5. Remember, a bad seed stays bad. Moving it to a treasure or a ledger or a new cold card doesn't fix that. You need a genuinely new seed. If your affected wallet is already empty and you have moved on to a fresh seed elsewhere, you're done. The risk lives only in wallets still holding funds under a seed with broken firmware produced. Now, some safety habits that will protect any device from any maker. Add a passphrase. It layers a secret the device can never leak, and as we just saw, it is sometimes the difference between a scare and a catastrophe. Contribute your own entropy with dice when you can, so you're not trusting a black box to be honest about its randomness. Always verify receive addresses on the device's own screen, never on your computer. Test every new wallet with a small amount before you commit real savings, and make sure you can both send and receive from the new device before committing all of your funds. Buy hardware directly from the manufacturer and verify firmware signatures. Keep firmware current, but understand what a patch can and can't undo, like a bad seed phrase that's already been created. And the big one, the structural fix, multi-sig, ideally across multiple vendors. Look back at the cold card sweep. Not one multi-sig wallet was touched. A 2 of 3 setup spread across different manufacturers means a flaw in any single device or any single firmware or any single company's random number generator can't drain you on its own. It's the don't trust, verify principle turned into architecture. You stop betting your entire stack on one team's code review, and this month showed us that even excellent teams running AI over their own code miss things. Treat your custody as a practice, not a purchase. The 2021 buyers who got swept did the setup once and never looked back. Sovereignty isn't just a product that you own, it's a discipline that you keep up with or you don't. The whole promise of self-custody is that you remove your dependence on trusted third parties. No bank, no exchange, no custodian standing between you and your money. That promise is real and it's worth everything. Bitcoin is still the only major asset that lets an ordinary person hold bearer wealth with no permission slip and no counterparty. But trustless doesn't mean effortless. When you fire the middleman, you also inherit his job. The cold card failure is not an argument against self-custody. It's an argument for doing it with the seriousness that it deserves. Verify your entropy, layer your defenses, and never let a thing's appearance stand in for its substance. A is A, B is not A. Your keys are only truly yours when no one else can compute them. Not your keys, not your coins, not real entropy, not your keys. At Bitcoin Well, we build for the person who wants to hold their own keys the right way, with self-custody that puts you in control. Thanks for listening.